reason, they have adopted him. They have adopted her into that family. And like so, he gets all the benefits. The same thing, when we apply it spiritually, we are aliens. We are strangers unto God. But God looks at us as a, because he's a loving father, by sending Jesus Christ into the world, he now says, whosoever believes in him, I'm going to take him in. I'm going to make him my son. I'm going to make him my child. Male or female, you are the son of God. And when you have the power of sonship, there are certain privileges. There are many benefits that you get from there. The moment you are a child in the kingdom of God, you have benefits. And all these benefits, we will all continue to enjoy as we continue to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. He said, there is no man in this world today who is good of himself. Nobody is good of himself. Nobody is nice enough to say, I am good. I don't need any other thing. Because the scripture makes it clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we need somebody to cleanse us so that we'll be incorporated into the family of God. And I pray as we listen to this message, we become children of God. And as we become children of God, the power to overcome sin, because that is the nature of God. God is holy. And when we are his children, we are also expected to be holy. They said, like father, like son. The father is holy, the child is expected to be holy. So the same way God is holy, we ought to be holy. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I read verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14. It said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Not patterning yourself. You don't pattern yourself according to your old life. Because the Bible made us to realize, it said, if anyone is be in Christ, he's a new creature. You are totally new. You are totally different from your former self. So that is why Apostle Peter is now telling us that if you are an obedient child of God, you are not going to pattern yourself. You are not going to fashion yourself according to your former lusts. Oh, this is the way I used to think. This is the places that I used to go. This is the things that I used to do. Mm-mm. Now you are a child of God. You don't have to pattern yourself. You are not going to fashion yourself according to your former self. You are going to be a new creature. In verse 20, in verse 15 there, it said, but as he which has called you is holy, he who has called us, God called you out of this world into the marvelous kingdom of God. He said, as he which has called us is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever is going on in your heart, whatever you are thinking, he said, be ye holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16, he said, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. God is holy. So his children also need to be holy. So that is why we are considering this thing. There is power in being a child of God. When we become a child of God and you are adopted into the family of God, let me tell you, you are going to have victory over sin on a daily basis. And that is going to be our portion in Jesus' name. The transaction was provided by God and Jesus Christ paid the price. So you need nothing to, you need not to pay anything. You need not to pay any price. What you just need, we are still going to consider and as we move on, is to be born into the kingdom of God. You are going to be born into the kingdom of God. And how are you going to be born into the kingdom of God? The steps will be highlighted later. So when you are born, Jesus Christ has paid with the price. The action, the transaction has been made by his precious blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Yours is to just accept him as your Lord and Savior. And as you do that, there will be cleansing. Amen. There will be forgiveness. And there will be adoption into the kingdom of God by sinners in Jesus' name. And the power to live a victorious life on a daily basis, the Lord is going to give unto each and every one of us in Jesus' name. We are going to look at 3 points before we pray. The first point is the powerlessness of a sinner. The powerlessness of a sinner and his damnation without salvation. Anyone that is not saved is damned already. Because that's what the word of God tells us. He said, he who believes in him is saved. But as many that will not believe in him, they are condemned already. So you just have to have that thing at the back of your mind and say, Lord, I believe it. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. As simple as that. And I pray the Lord God is going to help us in Jesus' name. I say powerlessness of a sinner and his damnation without salvation. The second point we are going to consider there, we are going to look at the provision of salvation. God has provided the salvation and deliverance from sin. It is possible for the vilest offender, for the dirtiest sinner to be made clean. And by the time you surrender to Jesus Christ, the provision has been made. He's going to make us clean. He's going to make the sinner clean. And that will happen in Jesus' name. And finally, the third point, we are going to look at the power of sonship. Are you a child of God? I said sonship. There's no male, there's no female in Christ. We are all the same. So when they say the power of sonship, it belongs to the male. It belongs to the female. And how do you demonstrate that power of sonship? By living a victorious life over sin every day. That's how you can demonstrate. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I cannot do that. That which you are luring me into, that which you are advising me to do, as a child of God, I can't do it. That's the power. That is how you demonstrate that I am a child of God, that I have the privilege, I have the nature of God in me. God is holy. All his children also should be holy. And how are you going to demonstrate it? By living a daily victorious life. And the Lord will grant you and I the grace in Jesus' name. Let's back to point one. The powerlessness of a sinner and his damnation without salvation. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 13. The sinner is weak. The sinner is helpless. And you cannot blame him for that. You cannot blame her for that. No power. No grace. He does what he knows what to do best. And let's look. Jeremiah chapter 13. I read verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Somebody that has been accustomed to do evil. You cannot just wake up one day and start to be good. No, it is not possible. You have the willingness and you want to do it. You want to be good, but you just find yourself falling back into evil. The Ethiopian, the leopard, cannot change his spots. I cannot just change myself. I want to say this, but there is someone that can do that. And that is why we are coming together this morning, that there is power in sonship. Becoming the son of God, you'll be powerful. You have victory over sin. And that will happen in this place this morning in Jesus' name. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin. And we are talking about powerlessness of a sinner. The sinner is powerless. You want to do good. Romans chapter 7. You want to do good, but evil is present with you. You want to do that which is right. Evil is present. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Sin took occasion. Anybody that is doing evil, maybe even be thinking that you are doing the right thing. No! It is sin. You are doing evil. The sin has slain that particular individual, and he's not accustomed to doing good. In verse 19, he said, for the good that I would, I do not. The good that I wanted to do, I can't do them. But the evil which I would not, that I do. You want to do good? It is impossible. There is nothing. Within you, your conscience is telling you, this thing is right, wrong. You cannot do this. And then this thing that you are doing is against the will of God. But the power to do contrary is not there. That is why this writer is telling us, he said, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I don't want to commit sin. And that is what I find myself doing every day. Why? I don't want to do that which is wrong. But that is what I find myself doing from time to time. Let's look at verse 19. Verse 20. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I want to do what is good, but I can't do it. What makes me to be doing that which is against my will? Sin. Sin is what is dwelling in me, and that is what Jesus Christ came to deal with. And I pray the Lord God of heaven is going to do it in the hearts of as many that have not given their lives to Jesus Christ today, in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 21, he said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I want to do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My conscience, my inner man want to do the law of God. I like to do the law of God, the will of God. But I find myself not doing that. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, my eyes, my hands, my mouth, my legs. Another law is operating in them. I don't want to commit adultery, but my eyes always focus on women. I don't want to commit fornication, but my members, the members of my body, always go after those things. I don't want to do them, but I just find my members. Why? Because sin is still dwelling there. And the Lord is going to deal with that sin this morning in Jesus' Amen. Name. He said in verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Look at the wretchedness. Look at the powerlessness. In verse 24, O wretched man that I am, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We bless the name of the Lord because somebody has come and has paid the price and is going to work wonders in each of our hearts and in each of our lives this morning, in Jesus' name. So, they are powerless. Sinners are powerless. You will see from time to time, year to year, this is another end of the end of another year. You will see people making resolutions, and they now say, starting from January 1, the new year, I will stop smoking. I will stop this evil work. It cannot last 24 hours because resolution cannot do it. Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ alone paid for it. Yours is just to accept him. Know yourself that, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And the Lord God of heaven is going to help us in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I read verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see, a lot has been listed there that if you allow any of this in your life, if you are still doing any of those things, you are not qualified for the kingdom of God. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Only the righteous are going to inherit that kingdom on the final day. The works of the flesh. Whatever your flesh suggests to you, that is what you are doing. Whatever comes to your brain, whatever comes to your mind, that is what you follow your instincts. You just say, this is what my mind, without Christ there. If Christ is not in the heart and your instinct and your mind is telling you something and you jumped into it, it's likely you are committing sin. It's likely you are doing evil. But when Christ is in the heart, anything that comes into your mind that is contrary to the will of God, the Spirit of God will mellow you down. You say, you can't do it. Don't you know that you're a child of God? Don't you know that you can't talk that way? You can't think that way. And I pray the Spirit of God will come into the hearts of as many that are ready to accept Him accept Jesus Christ as His or our personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us look at Galatians. He has highlighted all those works of the flesh. The other time I was talking about our members of our body, our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our tongue, our hands, our legs. Do we use them to glorify Satan or do we use them to glorify God? What are those things that your eyes follow on the streets? What are those things that your eyes follow on the screen? When you sit down with the television and you continue to mellow, you continue to derive pleasure in those evil things. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We should not be like people that debate the scripture, argue the scripture. Show me where this thing is written in the Bible. Show me where that one is written in the Bible. After all, the Bible has not said, look at that verse 21 again. After listing them from verse 19, the works of the flesh, look at verse 21 again. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and what?
Such like.
What is the meaning of that, brothers and sisters? What is the meaning of that? Et cetera, and so on and so forth. Don't tell me. Sinner, don't tell me and say, show me where it is written in the Bible. The Bible has made it clear, and so on and so forth. You cannot be listening to everything. Smoking is not in the Bible, but it's wrong. Even the health workers will tell you, smoking is bad, and you now want to tell me, show me in the Bible where it is written. It means there is a law operating in your body. until you crucify, you allow that one to be taken out, and you want to say, oh, wretched man that I am. Actually, you are right. At the end of every year, I make resolution that I will not smoke again. I will just find myself in the second day of the new year. Yes. The helplessness of the sinner. And I pray that as many that are ready and willing to give their lives to Jesus Christ, the Lord will save them this morning. In Jesus' name. We have seen the condemnation. They don't have a part in the kingdom of heaven. And I pray the Lord God of heaven will make any sinner, any backslider, to retrace his or her step and go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I have seen myself. I have realized my position. I want to be saved. I want you as my Lord and Savior. And the Lord will do it in Jesus' name. That takes us to the second point, the provision of salvation. Salvation is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has paid the price. He has done everything. So we are looking at the provision of salvation and deliverance from sin. John chapter 3. Open your Bible to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3, verse 16. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. He gave his Son. He doesn't want anyone to perish. If you are here during the time of prayer, we saw it. God wants all men to be saved. Oh, last night while we were praying, God doesn't want anyone to perish. That is why he looked down upon the world. These are my handiwork. These are my creatures. These are the people that I created, and I don't want them to perish. Who shall go for us? Who will I send? Jesus Christ said, here am I, send me. And he came. He came down. And he knew exactly what he was going to pass through. He knew exactly all that is going to happen unto him. And he accepted. He said, thy will be done, O Lord. Not according to my will. When the hour came, when the hour of persecution and everything came upon him, he said, he prayed, Father, if you will just allow this cup to pass over me, I have seen the body, I have seen the suffering, I have seen everything. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, I have seen everything that I'm going to pass through. If you just allow this cup to pass over me. But quickly, he said, not my will. Let your will be done. And he surrendered himself. And he was beaten with those stripes, the flesh tearing off, and every other thing. He was spat upon. He was slapped. He was crowned with a thorny crown. They said, yeah, he's a king. He needs a crown. Ooh, that thorny crown. Press it on the head, and blood was coming out. I said, carry your cross by yourself. We are going to crucify him. And he never threatened any one of them. He didn't threaten. Do you know that you are doing this to your creator? Do you know you are doing it to the King of Glory? No, that's not the purpose why he came. He came to save sinners. Even the people that were persecuting him, even the people that were nailing him to the cross, he came for their purpose, for you and for me. And that is why when he was on the cross, the first statement is what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. What a heart. That you and I should also have the same heart of Jesus if we are children of God. And if there is a sinner in the house this morning, this heart, this mind will come upon such a one, and they will be delivered from their sins in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our Almighty God, he's a merciful Father. He's not willing that any sinner dies in sin. And he has provided redemption to every repentant sinner. If you are repentant, you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I can see myself now. There's redemption for you. And that is available, and the Lord will do it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, the door of his mercy is open. For whosoever appreciates this offer of redemption. Are you there? And you say, Lord, you are so merciful. You are so gracious. You are so good. I commit. I come to you. I surrender myself to you. The door is open, and it will take you in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. He can receive pardon. Anyone that confesses the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can receive pardon. You can receive reconciliation. You'll be reconciled back to God. We've been enemies of God while we were sinners, while we were in the world. But the moment a sinner realizes himself and not changed, he's going to be reconciled. And he's going to be adopted into the family of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How do we do that? How does that one take place? I told us initially when we started, husband and wife can just decide to adopt a child that is not their own. And they will be taking care of that child and give him or her all the benefit of a child, of a son, or of a daughter. All the benefits is yours. You are our child. The same way, if we want to be adopted into the kingdom, we have been enemies of God. What are the things that we are supposed to do? What are the things that the sinner needs to do so that you will be welcomed into the family of God? You cannot be a member of any family if you are not born into that family or adopted into that family. There's no way. I cannot go to and meet someone else and say, you are my father. You are my mother. You will not say, I've not adopted you. You know I'm not your dad. I'm not your mom. And that is true. Except he adopts that individual. The same way, nobody can claim that God is my father. Let anybody be saying anything that he or she likes. You cannot say God is my father. I'm a child of God. Yeah, it's easy to say with the word of the mouth. I'm a child of God. When were you born into the kingdom? At least each and every one of us has a birthday. We have a birth date. That, oh, when is your birthday? When was your birthday? When it's, you give the exact date. Then you now say, I'm a child of God. Yes, everybody can claim that. Everybody can say that. But which day? When were you born into the kingdom? As it happens in the physical, so also in the spiritual. And how are you? How is the sinner going to be born into the kingdom of God? Number one, just acknowledge yourself that, Lord, I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy to be called your child. Then I'm coming back home. I'm retracing my step. Look at the prodigal son. He was a father. He was a son in that family. The father has two sons. Had two sons. The prodigal one said, he went to the father, give me my own portion of inheritance. I need everything that pertains to me in this family. Give me everything. I want to live my life the way I want. I would love to live it. And the father did not argue. He gave him his portion. And he went to a far country and spent all his inheritance in riotous living. Riotous living. As if there is no tomorrow. And when he lavished, when he wasted everything, and he went to a rich man in that country, I need job, I need something to sustain myself. He didn't even find one. And the one that he found was to attend to swine. And he was even struggling with the husks that the swine were eating. Struggling. And he came to a time. I have a father. Even the servants, they are not eating on husks like this. They are feeling fine at home. Look at me, languishing. In famine, in everything, in this place, I will arise.
Amen.
I will go to my father. I will confess. I will tell him, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against heaven. Please, just receive me as one of these your servants. My brother, my sister, and sinner, friend, if you are there, decision is okay, but you have to take action. After he has decided, I will arise. He took the step. He retraced his step back home. And by the time he got home, the father saw him ahead, a distance ahead. I said, who is this one that I'm looking at? Who is it? He looks like my child that was dead. Now he's alive. That was lost. Now he's found. And when he saw him, he ran. He ran to meet him. Embraced him. And I said, ah, Father, I've sinned against you. Don't worry. And he made the best feast for him that day. He made the best feast for him that day. He said, yeah, this my son was dead. Now he's what? He's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. You know, let's eat. Let's make merriment. Let's be joyful because of this my son. Because that is the only thing that gladdens the heart of angels in heaven. If you are a millionaire, if you are a billionaire, if you are anything, if you have power, if you have all those ones, they are relegated to the background when it comes to spiritual matters. The only thing that gladdens the heart of angels in heaven is when a sinner repents. Because the Bible says there is joy in heaven. Heaven will rejoice because of you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everyone will rejoice because of me in Jesus' name. And if you see your life, that you say, ah, my life is not right. What I'm doing is not okay. Take this step. Take these simple steps. The first thing, acknowledge yourself. I know I'm a sinner. Even if the Lord should come today, I'm not qualified to even look at him in the face. Look at that prodigal son. When he realized himself, the father that gave birth to him, he couldn't even look at the father and say, you are my father. Because he knew that he has sinned. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. But the father said, no. Now that you are realized, don't worry. Come back. If the sinner realizes today, he said, Lord, I'm dirty. You are holy. He said, no, I came because of dirty people. I came because of sinners. And you say, okay, accept me. I do this. I do that. And you confess everything. The moment you confess, he's ready to accept you. He's ready to embrace you.
Amen.
That's the first point. Acknowledge your sinfulness. And consider the danger of remaining in sin. Don't continue to remain in sin. Acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And if I die in this situation, I will be separated from God eternally. When you acknowledge like that, God is going to receive you. And the next thing, you repent. I know those things that make God to hate me. Make me not to be able to face my God. To look at God in the face and say, you are my father. I know those things. I fornicate. I commit adultery. I'm a thief. Oh no, my own is busybody in other people's matter. I talk too much. What concerns me not. I just have to put my nose. I just have to say, what are you talking about? What are you? Is it the Ephesians? Their own is to listen to any new thing that is happening. And they are superstitious in all things. So which one is your own? Do you steal with your pen? Your legs, are they carrying you to the place that God will not be honored? You just confess them and just say, Lord, I have seen myself. I know myself. I know I do this. I know I do that. You can't hide it from God. Brothers and sisters, we cannot hide from God. You can't hide from God. I can't hide from God. Then why are we deceiving ourselves? Why are we not so open? Why are we not so plain and come out and say, you know me as I am. You know me. Nothing is hidden from you concerning me. You know me inside out. More than I know myself. By the time you now confess, you now say, Lord, this is who I am. You know me better than I said. And you are ready to confess and to forsake all those things. When you repent of them and say, I will not do them again. Not making a resolution that I will not do this thing again because it's end of the year. No, you go to the Lord Jesus Christ. If need be, you go on your knees. You go on your knees and say, Lord, I have seen myself. I do this. I do that. I commit this. I commit that. And I don't want to do them again. Because I have seen the repercussion of being separated from you. That I will not be with you eternally. And if you take that step, you repent. And you say, Lord, I'm not going back to them. He's going to accept. The Lord is merciful.
Amen.
And he's going to embrace us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I read verse 20. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. That was the prodigal son. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The Lord will have compassion on you in Jesus' name. As you make up your mind, as you just say, Father, I've sinned against you. All the while, I thought I was enjoying life. I was doing a lot of harm to my body than I think that I was even doing to you. I sinned against my body, but I have sinned against you. The moment you do that and you repent, you say, I'm coming back home. Lord, I'm returning back to you. The scripture says, no one that ever comes to me will like cast out. It will not cast you out.
Amen.
The moment you make up your mind, and that is going to happen in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The next thing, when you repent, you confess. Say it out. Say it. You within your heart, you repent. You say, Lord, I'm not going to do this. Then confess it. Say it. Say it out. Paul the apostle. He said, of all sinners, I'm the what? I'm the most miserable. I'm the most miserable. I'm an injurious fellow. I'm an injurious fellow. When they were even killing Stephen, I was there. I was the one holding their garments. Persecute, kill him, do this, do that. That's who I was. He said it, he confessed. And that glorious day, that glorious noonday, when the light shone from up from heaven, and he was on his way to go and persecute Christians again, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And since that very day, it was never the same again. It was never the same again. He said, I did not confine in the flesh and blood. I don't say, this is what the Lord is telling me. Should I do that? He knows. He's the one that had the encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. And the moment the Spirit of God is telling him something like that, he will arise and go and do that. And he became a different fellow. You all know my manner of life in the time past. You all know the type of life that I was living in the time past. But now, I'm a changed person. Such will be the experience of as many that are making up their mind that they are going to follow the Lord now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You confess. Go ahead and call upon the name of the Lord for pardon. And he's going to do it for you in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Like I said earlier on, I said the sinner, he cannot help him. He cannot help himself. She cannot help herself because she was born in sin. That's the way she was born. He was born. He had the Adamic nature in him, in her. Psalm 51, verse 4. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest? Confess to him, I've sinned against you. Yeah, it's you. Even when I sin against my neighbor, I sin against you, because the law of God did not ask me to hate my neighbors. He asked me to love everyone. And as you confess it like that, the Lord will receive you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The final thing, I said the first thing, you acknowledge that you are a sinner. Acknowledge. Know it. You are not hiding it. Number two, you repent of them. You acknowledge that I am doing all these things. These are the things that I do. What is the next thing? You repent. You say, I will not do them again. I will not do them again. Then, after, you confess. Tell people, that is who I was. That is who I was, but not now. I'm a changed person. And the last thing now, believe Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
Verse 17. John 3. Let's go there. John chapter 3. Verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is what? Is not condemned. You are not condemned. But he that believeth not in him, he believeth not, is condemned already. You don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? You say Jesus Christ is one of the prophets? I'm not the one saying it. The word of God is clear. You say you are condemned. You are condemned already. So he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I pray as sinners, believe in Jesus Christ as the only Son of God, they will be justified in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You have to believe by faith and bear the fruit of repentance. There should be the fruit in you. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You don't believe in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the fruit, you cannot see the fruit. You lie. You are hypocritical. You are the kind of words that are coming out from your mouth. Anybody look hearing you look at you in the second time. He look at you in the face. Huh? You say you're a Christian, and you are talking that way. Look at the way you are talking. You are not bearing the fruit. The fruit we accomplish. At least you know a tree by its fruit, by the fruit that is bearing. When you look at a mango tree, if there is nothing there, except that you have mastered, even looking at the leaf, you say, this is a mango leaf or whatever, if you don't, you know a leaf by its fruit. When you see mango, you say, this is a mango tree. When you see a cashew, you say, this is cashew. When all that berry, everything, you say, this is berry plant. So also, a Christian ought to be known by their works, by what you do. Not the works that you do that save you. You are saved to do good works. By the time you are saved, by the time you become a new creature in Christ, in fact, the works that you do, the words that come out of your mouth, the thoughts of your heart that no one is even seeing, will glorify God. God will be able to witness and say, you are my child. You are my child. Because that's what Paul the Apostle said. He said, you are witnesses. And God also is a witness. How what? How holily we have lived among you. How holily we have behaved ourselves among you. You are witnesses. It's not hidden. I say I'm a Christian. And you cannot. And I say, when I say I'm a Christian, and somebody says, is he a Christian? And they say, there's a question mark on your Christianity. I pray the Lord is going to help you and I in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That you will live that kind of life that anybody will look at you and say, I know him. He's a Christian. No, she's a Christian. Ah, no. Don't say that one to her. I know her. Ah, no. He's a Christian. Oh, that thing that you want her to do, she will never do it because she is a Christian. That will be the experience of each and every one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That one will take us to the last point because we are going to pray. The last point, the power of sonship. The moment you become a child of God, you have power.
Amen.
The power of God, the Holy Spirit is in you, bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Even at salvation, all that we have, the provision of salvation that we have just finished, is just that you are saved, you have power. Power over sin. Power over Satan. Power over flesh. Power over self. You control yourself. You control your members. Your members are, the members of your body are not controlling you. My flesh needs this. I must provide it for it. No, that's not a Christian. My flesh needs this. You tell the flesh. You say, hey, hold on. This is the time of prayer. This is the time of fasting. Oh, my stomach, my tummy is pulling me. It's like I'm feeling, you have to wait till 3 o'clock because I'm waiting on the Lord today. And I say, oh no, I cannot do this. I can't do that. You control. You are the one. You have authority over that flesh. Not the flesh controlling you. You know what? I think it's almost a week that you have smoked. Or it's almost a week that you have done something like this. Tonight, you just have to do it. Tonight, you just have to go and look for a way of doing it. And not minding the repercussion. Not minding, you are out. All the way, aggressive. You want to satisfy your lusts. You want to satisfy your flesh. No. That is not supposed to be like that. But when you are a child of God, when you are a child in the kingdom, you have power. You have power over sin. You have power over the flesh. You have power over whatever influence around you. You say, no, I can't do it. There's nothing you can do that will make me to do that. Because God doesn't like it. And I'm a child of God. When you say you are a child of God, nobody will contest that. Because they know that truly he is a child of God. Truly she is a child of God. And I pray the power will be given unto as many that are coming to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I read this 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that do what?
Believe on his name.
Just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say, I know he's the Savior. I know he came to save me and I've surrendered my life to him. He has given you power. As many as received him, to them gave he power. You have power. Power of sonship. Power over the flesh. Power over sin. Power over Satan. Power over Satan. You have no power of your own, brothers and sisters. You should know that. But the moment you become a child of God, you can tell the devil. You can tell the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will do what?
He will flee.
He will flee. He's not going to walk away from you. He's not going to run away from you. He's going to flee. Resist him with the power of sonship, with the power of holy life that you have. You say, I'm a child of God. I cannot do that. Satan, get thee behind me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And he will flee. But brothers and sisters, we should not relax because he's coming back. He will say, I'm watching your careless moment. I'm waiting for your careless moment. When I know that he's careless, I will come back again. I will represent the same thing. Now he has resisted. Okay, I'll wait for the time that we'll be preoccupied with many things. That the mind will not be focused or whatever at that particular point in time. I just chip in my thoughts. I just chip in this. And I say, and by the time he does that, he falls. And I'll take the report back to his God. Look at your son. Look at your child. But I pray that will not be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Apostle John, he said, this thing have I written to you that no man sin. If you sin, he said, we have an advocate with the Father.
Hallelujah.
We have an advocate. So Satan will not have the upper hand in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Proverbs says, rejoice not over me. I think Ecclesiastes, my enemy. When I fall,
I will arise.
Hallelujah. You don't remain there. You don't say, because we do not know. Hey, this, yes, Lord, I was careless. I suppose not to do that. I suppose not to say that. But when I fall, I will arise. Go back to God. We have an advocate with the Father. That is the power of sonship that we are talking about. And then, when that temptation is coming again the second time, will you not remember the other time? Oh, Satan, you deceived me into this thing the last time. But Jesus saved me. Like the wordings of that song. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. Praise God, I know I'm saved. You ask why I am happy. He said, you ask why I am happy. And I'm going to tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Because my sins are gone. You come to tempt me. You want to make me doubt. I say, friend, my enemy, not even friend. My enemy, my sins are gone. And the scoffers are there. They want to tell you. He said his sins are gone. He said, yes, I know that my sins are gone. And Satan comes to tempt you again. He wants to say, you know what? The other time when you didn't do it right, that is why you were caught. Now this time around, this is the method you are going to apply. So, hey, you got me into trouble in the first instance. Jesus got me out. I'm not listening to you. I'm not paying attention. Get thee out of my sight in Jesus' name. And he's going to flee.
Amen.
That kind of power will reside in each and every one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, there is power in being a child of God. When there is power, how do you demonstrate the power? By living. Is it by living a careless life? No. By living a life of victory over sin. Temptation will come. According to the theme of the retreat that we are having, power for the present
hour.
The hour of temptation will come. Because you are a child of God, you think devil will run away from you? Yeah, when they want to attack you, now they when they see the light, when they see the protection, they are waiting. If Jesus Christ, if Satan can go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and say, if you are the child of God, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone. If you can tempt the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who are you? Who am I? That you say, I'm a Christian. Then I can live a careless life. And I'm saved. Once saved, I'm forever saved. Who told you that? Show me where it is written in the Bible. Peter fell. Jesus said, when you are converted, that is, he fell out of grace. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen them. You are going to fall. Satan has desire to have you, but I have prayed for you. He fell to a young lass, a young lady, maid. You are one of them. I swear. The bold Peter. He said, no, I don't even understand what you are saying. I don't understand. He fell. But when he was converted, we see all that he did. So the same way you and I, brothers and sisters, when we are tempted, we just have to say no. Because temptation will come. Temptation will come. And persecution also will come. The hour of persecution. For you being called a Christian alone is enough for you to be hated by the whole world. for you being called a Christian, even by maybe Christians in quotes. Christians in quotes. Maybe they are false brethren. And they will say they are Christians. And they will persecute you. And you'll be saying, and you'll be looking at yourself as the one that is wrong. Meanwhile, they are the one that are wrong. You have been persecuted for being called a Christian. But when the hour of persecution comes, take solace in the word of God. Take solace in the prayer of Jesus Christ. He said, I have prayed for you. Jesus Christ prayed for the disciples. And by extension, he prayed for you and I. He said, I'm not praying for these ones alone. I'm praying for those ones that will believe in me through their word. Do you believe in Jesus Christ through the word of the apostles? Do you believe in Jesus Christ through the word of the apostles? Yes. They brought the gospel down to us. They preached the gospel of salvation. And we embraced it. So Jesus Christ has also prayed for you and I. He prayed for the disciples when he was leaving. He knows. He knew that he was leaving them in the world. I know that I'm leaving this one in the world. I am going away. Father, keep them from the world. Keep them. And by the time he said, keep them, he said, I'm not praying for these ones alone. I'm praying for as many that will believe in me through their words. So when temptation comes, brothers and sisters, just look up. Just say, Lord, I know you are there. I know I'm weak, but you are strong.
Amen.
I know that I am helpless, but you are powerful. And by the time you know that, strength will come from where you are not. Where you least expected, strength will just come. Power will just come. Grace will just come. He said, my grace is sufficient unto you. And the grace of God will be sufficient unto you and I in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That is how you have the victory over sin. And that's how you demonstrate it. Temptation comes. They say, it's not like that. You are taking your Christianity too far. It's supposed not to be like that. You say, friend, I know what I'm doing. I know what the Bible says concerning this issue, and that is what I'm sticking to. When you take your stand like that, you will see the grace of God will be sufficient. You'll be persecuted. They will abandon you, but God will not abandon you.
Amen.
The God of heaven will hold you. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, whatever, even the world, when they forsake you, he said, then the Lord will hold me. Then the Lord will take me up. You will be victorious and you have power over sin in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This glorious experience that we are talking about, salvation, it is the best thing that can ever happen to any human being. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, it said the righteous are as bold as what? As the lion. You are bold because you look at yourself, not by your power. You look at yourself, you say, by the grace of God, I am a child of God. Any intimidation, anything that is coming to confront you, you call yourself a Christian. You say you are a Christian. We want you to renounce the Lord, the Jesus right away now. You look at them in the face. Brothers and sisters, have you developed your faith to that extent that you will now say, I cannot deny my Lord. I cannot deny Jesus. Polycarp, we have told maybe about 80 years and above. They say, come and deny this your Jesus. He looked up, he looked down. I've been following him for how many years? He has never done me any wrong. Why will I now? They said, tie him to the stake, burn him to death, whatever, whatever. In the face of death, in the face of persecution, he was being born like this and he went away just like that. What comes? Death? Death is just transition. You'll not be afraid of death, brothers and sisters. When you are saved, this thing that we are talking about, salvation, that cost Jesus Christ his blood, the priceless blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood, to shed it on the cross for you and I, the whole blood in the system, in the body, drained out to the point that water was coming out. after kneeling him, after flogging him with the floor, with the blood, with everything, they still went there, they still pierced the body. That blood gushed out. And at the end, water also started coming out. That thing that caused it. Somebody say you are taking your Christianity too much. And Jesus Christ took you too much. And went to the cross to die because of you. And you are now saying, I'm not going to take my Christianity too seriously. What kind of Christian are you? The Lord God of heaven is going to help you and I in Jesus' name. With it, there is power. It's a glorious experience. When you say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Yes. You say it anywhere. You don't say it with the corner of your mouth. You don't cover your mouth when you are saying it. You say, I'm a child of God. You look at the individual in the face, you will smile. He's persecuting you. He's doing you this. He's doing you this. You know that I'm a child of God. I can't do that which you are telling me to do. The Lord will help you and I in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, the acid test for all profession of religion. Since they, I don't know the kind of religion that you'll be carrying that will allow you to be sinning. The religion that cannot take sin away from you. The religion that cannot make you to have victory over sin. Because that's the problem of man, sin. Right from the Garden of Eden, that singular sin brought man to the situation that we are today. But thanks be to our God in heaven who gave us Jesus Christ. Who gave us Jesus Christ. He said, yes, you have committed this thing that I asked not to do. Woman, in pain, you are going to give birth to that child. Because the devil is going to afflict you. He's going to bruise your heel. In pain, you are going to deliver the child that will be born. The devil will make him to see this, to suffer. He's going to bruise his heel. But the seed, the child, will break his head. And that is why we have the victory, because Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, came. Satan bruised his heel. Satan tormented him. Agony and everything. But on getting to the cross, when demons, when evil spirits were rejoicing and say, yes, we conquered him. We have conquered him. He's nailed to the cross. He said, by the time he was giving up the ghost, he said, it is finished. The work of salvation is accomplished. He said, nobody take my life from me. You that are following me, just know that nobody take my life from me. I am the one that laid down my life by myself. I'm laying down my life by myself. Nobody, no demon, no Satan, nothing. I laid down my life by myself. And I'm going to take it up. At the third day, he arose and he still showed himself to the disciples and said, touch this place. It's still the same. Spirit don't have flesh and blood. Look at me, it's still the same. Look at me. And they say, yes. They say they now have confidence in their master. Confidence in the Savior. The Lord will help you and me that we hold on to this master, or to this Savior, even to the end of our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The recipient of the power of sonship. What are we supposed to do? You're a child of God. You said you have the power of sonship. What are you supposed to do? We have responsibility. Day by day. And as you do that, that is what is going to make a difference between your old life and your new life. The life that you were living before, and the life before, it is even difficult for you to read your Bible. In the time past, when they say, let us go to the house of God, you grumble. It's a burden. Oh. I just want to bet you are not a Christian. You are happy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
David said, I was happy. When they say what? Let us go to the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the time past, you were like that. But now, church, house of God, oh, let's go. Oh, we have something today. I was happy when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. I think Psalm 122 or something. So, your past life will be different from your present life. The Lord will help us in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. So, you do this the following on a daily basis. On a daily basis. The first, testify of your salvation to others. Tell them, you know I'm saved. No, I can't do that. Friend, if you also can accept Jesus Christ into your life, your life will be different. All these things that you say that I'm doing that I cannot, that I say I cannot do, it's not by my power. It's by the grace of God in me. So, friend, you too can accept him into your life and you will see the difference. You proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ on every opportunity that you have. Every opportunity that you have. Tell your friends. Tell everybody. Tell them, I'm a child of God. Testifying of the salvation of your salvation to others. I have less than 5 minutes. Let's look at 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Yes. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was Paul the Apostle. Testifying to others. It's a faithful saying. I can tell you, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I am the chief of all sinners. He saved me. He can save you. You are telling me that you are bad. Are you worse than myself? This is all that I did. This, if Jesus Christ can save me, he will save you. They look at themselves, they say, really? They say, yes. You mean you have murdered before? You mean you have killed somebody? Yes, I have to tell you, I can't hide anything. But now, by the grace of God, this is who I am now. Then go back, they go and sit down. If God can save this, if this person can come out boldly and be sitting down, and it's not bragging because of he has murdered before, because it's not bragging. He's saying it soberly that if God can do that for him. I was an armed robber. I did this. I killed people. I did this. I robbed them. I did it at gunpoint. But look at me today. Your testimony will save others. And the Lord will do it in Jesus' name. That's what Paul the Apostle was saying, that sheep of all sinners. Tell others. Another thing, you will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Some people, when they carry their Bible, they wrapped it in. Maybe in bags or in whatever. They don't want anybody to. Oh, you hold your Bible. You hold your Bible, the sword of the Spirit, through which you pierce the bones, the marrows, or whatever. And you, when you wield that sword effectively and efficiently, demons will run. Devil will bow and flee. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. You are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You follow them. Let's go. Yes, let's go and proclaim this Christ. Let's go and tell these people. Let's go and tell them that this Jesus, that one is in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. The Lord will help you and I in Jesus' name. Then, on a daily basis, abstain from all appearance of evil. It is not evil per se. It is not evil, but it appears to be evil. That is what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Flee, abstain from all appearance of evil. The society that we are in is so corrupt, is so evil, is so, and it appears to be the normal thing. Those that are doing the wrong thing, it is the normal thing. Those that are doing the wrong thing, they are the one. It is normal. Those that are doing the right, they are the abnormal set of people. Yes, it's better for you to be counted as abnormal. When Paul was defending himself, they said, "Paul, you are behind yourself. Too much knowledge, too much learning has made you crazy. You are wrong, crazy. If it is for Jesus Christ, yes." He said, "But I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. I'm just telling the word of life. I'm just telling you about the word of life." The Lord will give us such boldness in Jesus' name. Watch against besetting sin. You know yourself more than I know you. My own. Maybe you can't even play with me with money. Maybe you can never keep money with me. By the time I'm returning to you, something is missing out of it. Maybe everything. That is my besetting sin. And I should know myself. When you want to give me money, I say, "No, I don't need." "No, keep your money to yourself. Please, I'm sorry. It's not that I'm trying to be rude. Please, keep the money. You don't want anything to be missing. You don't want to be tempted that I have money with me, then I start spending. At the end of the day, I start telling you a story. Know your weakness, your besetting sin. Or you go to where someone is keeping, you know, this is where he's keeping it. I'm just going to abstain, run away from that. Oh, no, that. And you know your besetting sin is maybe fornication, maybe whatever. Run away from, when the moment you see women, you know, maybe the time you see them, they are catwalking or whatever, maybe that is when, then run away. Run away from any appearance, anything, and say, "Lord, sanctify my heart." You know your besetting sin. You know that weakness of yours. Run away from it. And that is what Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 is telling us. Your weakness. Your besetting sin. Those sins that easily attaches to you. The sin that easily attaches to you. Do away with them. Run away from it. No, I don't want it. The grace of God will be sufficient unto you in Jesus' name. And on a daily basis, maintain a quiet time and fervent prayer. Have a time with God regularly. Have a time with God regularly on a daily basis. Maybe your work may not even allow you to wake up very early, but before the day passes, before the day runs out, you now remember, have a time with God. Have a time with God. There is power in that, and God will strengthen you and I in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, the next thing that we have to do, maintain fellowship with brethren of like precious faith. You know, this one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, these are my people. This one runs away from sin. That's your best friend. This one, not the people that see nothing wrong with committing sin. And they are your intimate friends. Brother, sister, they are going to lure you into what they are doing. Because it's so easy to influence one to do wrong than to do good. So that is why you are going to run from them, run away from them. No, this one cannot be my close friend. This one cannot be my best friend, because I've been seeing everything that he's doing. I've seen everything that is going on around him, around her. It's not edifying. It's not glorifying the name of the Lord. He's my friend. Yes, but he cannot be my intimate friend. The Lord will help you and I in Jesus' name. And finally, you have to deny yourself. Flesh. If you want to please the flesh, you are not going to please God. Deny yourself and bear the cross. Deny yourself and bear the cross. And the Lord God of heaven will help you and I in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, the word of God has come unto you and I this morning. There is power in being a child of God. There is power in sonship. And by so doing, you have victory. The moment you are powerful, you are so sure that you are a child of God, you have authority over demons, over witches, over principalities and powers. and you can command, get out of my sight. And you have power. He said, behold, I give unto you power. To who? To his children. He didn't give power to the world. The world has no power to resist sin, to overcome sin. He said, behold, I give unto you power to trample on snakes and scorpions. The snakes of this world, the scorpions of this world. The power will be yours, and it will be permanent in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's rise up and pray. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. If you are a child of God, and you have the assurance that I'm a child of God, bless the Lord for that. Worship the Lord for that. Appreciate the Lord for that. And say, Lord, I want to thank you because you have saved me and you have adopted me. You into your kingdom, into the kingdom of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Appreciate God and say, Lord, thank you so much. And if you find yourself that, oh, I've not been born again, I'm not a child of God, call upon him. He will not cast you out. He will not cast you away from him. He will save you. He will accept you. He will deliver you. Call upon the name of the Lord. And victory over sin, victory over self, victory over the flesh, the Lord will give you. Call upon the name of the Lord, brothers and sisters, and say, Lord, help me. By your grace, by your power, that whatever that is not according to your will in me, cleanse and purge me. Cleanse and purge me. If you know that you cannot boldly say that you are a child of God, the door is still open. The door of his mercy is still open unto you. You say, Father, I'm coming. Jesus, I'm coming. And he will help you. And he will do it for you. Call upon the name of the Lord. We have seen the powerlessness of a sinner. Powerlessness. He has lost the glory of God. The conscience is defiled. But as we have spoken, as you have heard from the word of God, the glory of God will appear in your life. And your conscience will be able to bear you witness if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that I am a child of God. Call upon the name of the Lord, brothers and sisters. Say, Lord, purge my conscience. If you know that you are still a sinner, purge my conscience. Cleanse me from inbred sin. Take away the Adamic nature from me and purge me completely. And afflictions, troubles, yokes will be taken away from your life. The moment you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, curses, yokes, and afflictions, everything, the Lord will take them away. There will be no harassment from the devil. There will be no harassment from evil spirit. Just surrender unto him. Just call upon his name. Say, Lord, I've heard you.